Welcome to the National Native Network podcast series. Today we're presenting our webinar archive, Colorectal Cancer Risk Reduction in Indian Country, CRC Screening Using Multi-Targeted Stool DNA Test, presented on August 30th, 2023. To view the webinar video and additional resources, please visit our website, keepitsacred.org, and click the Resources tab and the Webinar Archive tab. Please enjoy our presentation. Hello, my name is Mike Willett with the National Native Network, a program of the Intertribal Council of the Michigan. Please welcome to the NNN webinar series on cancer risk reduction in Indian Country. This webinar is titled CRC Screening Using Multi-Targeted Stool DNA Test. This technical assistance webinar is being hosted by the National Native Network, which offers technical assistance and resources for commercial tobacco and cancer control prevention in Indian Country. Your presenters today are Dr. Travell Ellis, Health Equity Director with Exact Sciences, and Emily Ferroni, Patient Navigator at Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians at the Intertribal Council of Michigan. No commercial interest support was used to fund this activity. At the conclusion of this activity, the healthcare team will be able to differentiate CRC screening modalities, identify when to offer a multi-targeted stool DNA test, and evaluate how the patient assistance programs work to promote accessible CRC screenings in American Indian and Alaska Native communities. If you have any questions, please type your questions into the Q&A box on your Zoom panel. All questions will be answered during the last few minutes of today's webinar. And at this time, I will transfer the keyboard and mouse controls over to Dr. Ellis.
Thanks, Mike, for the introduction, and thank you everyone for your attendance today. I'm delighted to represent Exact Sciences, where I'm the Director of Health Equity, to talk about some of the best practices to advance health equity in colorectal cancer screening. So let's go through the facts. These facts are meant to just orient us to what's going on right now with colorectal cancer. There are about 10 million Native and Alaska Native individuals living in this country. And unfortunately, colorectal cancer is hitting our Native and Alaska Native populations and tribal populations disproportionately. Not only the disease itself, but unfortunately, we are dying too early from this disease. There are many things that go into persons contracting colorectal cancer or the challenges in getting treatment. But one of the biggest things that we actually can control is colorectal cancer screening. And so that's why we're here today, to talk about the disease state and then provide solutions. So what is colorectal cancer? Colorectal cancer is a cancer of the colon as well as the rectum. We use the word colorectal and colon pretty interchangeably, but this is what the inside of your colon or large intestine looks like. You'll see that over the course of time, cells begin to grow or polyps begin to grow on the surface of the colon. Those polyps, I will try to use the pointer here. These cells right here can grow over time. And just because they're growing doesn't mean they're cancer. It might take 10 years for this cell to grow into something cancerous. But when we think about cancer, it can grow either in a local stage, so within the colon, a regional stage where it starts to hit lymph nodes, or a distant stage where it starts to hit the blood vessels and spread to other places. The idea is that we want to catch cells and their changes early. We want to catch them up here rather than letting them progress to down here. We know that if we catch polyps early through screening, 90% of individuals in 5 years are living their best lives. While catching cancer at a distant stage or stage four is not a death sentence, only 15% of individuals, so 15 out of 100, are doing as well as they could, whereas 90 out of 100 are doing great when we catch it here. And so even though a patient or you or someone in your community may not have symptoms, we want to make sure that everyone is getting screened for colorectal cancer, everyone getting screened on time, because if we wait, those cancer cells or those pre-cancer cells can grow and divide and cause problems for our communities. So why are we talking about this? I know we hear about cancer and its detriment to our lives all the time. We hear about breast cancer and lung cancer and prostate cancer, but nobody's really talking about the colon. And the reason we need to talk about it more and normalize this idea of getting screened is that 150,000 individuals will pass away in 2023, or so 150,000 individuals will get colorectal cancer, and 50,000, so a third of that number, maybe not the same people, maybe others, will pass away from this disease. And so we really want to do our part to make sure that we are preventing this disease early. When we think about in Alaska Native and tribal populations, colorectal cancer is unfortunately hitting men and women. So it's not just a male disease. It's hitting men and women disproportionately. So if you look at combined of all the races, right? We're at 41.5%, but in the American Indian and Native populations, it's much higher. Similarly, when we think about death rates, this is the most important number I want to highlight on this slide. 35 to 40% of our Native members are not being screened appropriately. And so this is the benchmark I really want us to target as we think about solutions and tools today. And it's not necessarily specific to different geographies. So if we think about, there was a study done between 2012 and 2016. So over the course of 4 years, there was 1,000 people who contracted colorectal cancer. As you can see, they're across different regions. So Alaska, just like Northern Plains, just like the Southwest, right? Colorectal cancer continues to be a leading cause of cancer in men and women, and our screening rates are really, really low. And so this is why today we're going to talk about screenings, we're going to talk about options for screening, and what you can do for your community and your tribal members to advance our cause to keep people healthy and alive and living their best lives. So why must we screen? Well, we must screen because that's our best armor to keep ourselves healthy. When we screen early and often, just like you get your eyes checked, your blood pressure checked, right? We're screening all the time. We just don't necessarily think of it in a very concrete way. But we need to start normalizing this idea of, have you gotten your colon checked? Are you good to go? Because if we catch the cells before they become cancerous, we can take them out. Colorectal cancer is the one cancer that we can actually prevent if we catch it early. So everyone has a colon, everyone should get screened. So how do we get screened? There are a number of options and I'll go through them right now, but I will tell you the best screening test is the test that people will do. The test that people will agree to do or complete and complete on time is the number one test for them. So you might have heard of a colonoscopy. What is a colonoscopy? It's a fantastic test to detect for colorectal cancer. It's a test where a probe or a scope is placed inside the body and goes up and around and along the colon. We're looking for those cells that are growing and growing out of proportion to what they should be. We can catch those cells right at that time and remove them from the body and then monitor the patient or the community member over time. If colorectal cancer is not detected on a colonoscopy, patient typically is advised to come back every 10 years. With the colonoscopy, you definitely have to make sure that your insides or your bowel are all cleaned out appropriately. You drink the Go Lightly or other preparatory materials. And someone will have to take you to the colonoscopy suite because you have to undergo an anesthesia. There's two tests I want to talk about right now that you could actually do at home. So you wouldn't have to do the prep and you wouldn't have to go anywhere. The first is a FIT test. It's a small card where you'll use the restroom or your stool or poop as you do at home, and you'll put it onto a piece of Saran wrap. You'll put that on your toilet. And then you'll swipe the stool with a probe and send that back to the lab to get tested. That test is done every year. So it's called a FIT test, and that test is done every year. It's prescribed by your doctor to assess if you are at risk for colorectal cancer. That test looks for blood in the stool. The second test we'll talk about is Cologuard, or a multi-target stool DNA test. So this test has everything you need inside the box, and we'll go and look at what all the components are. But this test also looks for blood in the stool, as well as DNA that comes from those cells as they change. The difference between FIT and Cologuard we'll discuss over the next couple slides, but Cologuard is done every 3 years, whereas FIT is done every year. Again, both tests can be done in the comfort of your home. They do not have to be with anesthesia or prep. So what does this look like in terms of step by step? So for individuals age 45 or older who do not have a family history, do not have a personal history of cancer, or are what we deem high risk, those individuals are what we call average risk, and they have options. You can do something non-invasive or at home, right? The FIT, as I mentioned, or the multi-target stool DNA, or the colonoscopy. If someone has a non-invasive or at-home test and it is negative, they're good to go for that 1 or 3 years. But if something comes back from this test that's a little concerning, we want to make sure that these patients are then sent on to colonoscopy, because we want to make sure that we look inside the colon to detect any of those cancer cells or precancer cells and take them out. Making sure that patients do not only their at-home test, but if positive, the colonoscopy, make sure that their cancer journey is complete and they are completely screened. If we forget to do this step right here, we are not completing our screenings. Again, our average risk patients have choices, at home or colonoscopy. If positive for at home, you go on to colonoscopy. For patients with family history, that's mom, dad, sister, brother, or child, they are at high risk for colorectal cancer. Those individuals should be screened 10 years within the other family member's diagnosis. And those individuals absolutely should go to colonoscopy. Why are we pushing this idea, or why are we discussing this idea of, let's make sure we get to know which tests our community members and our patients will complete? It's because evidence will show that if patients are offered options, they will be more proactive about getting screened. When they know what's available to them, those tests are easier to complete. There's several guideline bodies, or the people who make decisions to direct our medical care, that say, recommended tests are available. Clinicians and patients should talk about the patient's choice and deciding which test might be best for them. Not only are shared decisions or working with patients and providers important, it's also important to think about the community. So having a shared decision amongst individuals within a community is important so that patients feel supported in their decision-making and they're able to complete the test and get their questions answered. The evidence shows that if patients are given a choice, some choose colonoscopy, but others choose at-home tests. And so we want to make sure that patients know what's available to them, not only colonoscopy or FIT, majority in this study chose FIT, but then when given all five tests, you see where patients fall. Many patients want to know about Cologuard, which is why we're here. So we want to make sure that patients have the information that they need to make the best decision that right for them, whether it's colonoscopy, FIT, Cologuard, whether it's age 45 to 49 or 50 and above. We must engage everyone in their screening journey to get the test that they need to get it completed and get it back. So what is Cologuard? Cologuard is a test, a multi-target stool DNA for patients 45 or over. It's not for patients who have previous colorectal cancer, polyps, or other cancers of the lower region, so prostate, bladder, bowel, et cetera. Patients with colitis or Crohn's are not eligible for Cologuard, or patients who have Lynch syndrome or other familial adenoma dysplasia. We want to make sure that patients and providers talk about colorectal cancer. This speaks to the studies that were done to indicate Cologuard as an option. We don't want to use Cologuard if patients are actively bleeding, if they have blood or urine in their stool, or they have excessive diarrhea. When you complete the Cologuard test, which I'll show you in a minute, we just want one sample of the stool, so one healthy stool that's typical for the patient at that time. Patients do not have to do PrEP in order to do Cologuard. With Cologuard, we are testing, again, for those precancerous or cancerous cells, the markers from those cells, to show the changes that are going on inside the body before we have to do a colonoscopy if something was positive. So everything comes in that cute little white box that you see on TV. Included in it is a vacuum sealed container or a Ziploc-like container, the specimen cup that then goes in the bracket. You place the bracket and the specimen cup in the toilet. The patient then completes a sample or poops in the container. And then we do two steps. One, we take the probe that's in the tube and we scrape across the stool. The second step is taking the solution that's in the box. Do not drink the solution. Pour the solution right on top of the stool. Close up the probe and close up the container. Place your two labels on it and put it in the box. The box itself will have a mailing label on it that came directly to your client or your personal home. When you remove the mailing label that it came with, there'll be another label right below. So the idea is that this is meant to be easy, simple, and everything that the patient or community member might need will be self-contained in the box. They do not have to pay extra money to send the box back. If questions arise, there's a 1-800 number that I'll highlight pretty frequently throughout this talk that people can use to ask their questions. Why are we doing this? Well, not only are we testing for blood in the stool that comes from these cells, but we're also testing for the DNA or the biomarkers that are released by these cells over time. And the idea is that if we catch the DNA and the changes in the cells earlier, we can do something about it. What makes a positive result? Well, it's a balance between the blood and the DNA biomarkers that come from the test of both the probe and the stool specimen. How does Cologuard stack up to FIT? Well, at any age, any stage of cancer, Cologuard seems to outperform FIT from this study of 10,000 patients across race, ethnicity, from ages 50 and above. There are some downsides to Cologuard in that while very sensitive, sometimes Cologuard produces a false positive result. And because of that, patients have to have a colonoscopy should their results be abnormal. Again, we want to make sure patients are getting that follow-up colonoscopy, whether they do colorectal cancer screening with FIT or Cologuard. Both will raise a flag that something is concerning and needs more investigation. So is Cologuard the right test for your patient? Perhaps. I want to let you guys know that Cologuard is covered by insurance nationally, both on Medicare and Medicaid. Cologuard, not only as it, the screening test is covered, but that follow-up colonoscopy for individuals with Medicare, Medicaid, or commercial insurance, for the most part, should have their follow-up colonoscopy also covered. The exception, of course, is grandfathered plans, and I don't like to use that word, but that's the terminology in the policy for which determinations have to be specifically made. We want to make sure that patients know that if they have insurance coverage, that their whole spectrum of screening will be covered, because we don't want that to be a barrier to them getting started. So let's get to the easy part, and that is getting people motivated to do this, right? So the tests are there, but the really challenging part is, and the things that you guys can do the best in knowing your community, is answering their questions, getting them screened. So regardless of the barriers from lack of access or feeling like they don't know about colorectal cancer screening, I want to make sure that you guys have accurate information. And that's why we're here today, talking about protection of privacy, understanding what goes into the stool-based tests. When you provide a Cologuard test or a DNA test, all of those samples are handled with care and according to specifications for holding a biological safety sample. So while it seems a little weird to put one's stool in the mail, I will tell you all of that is processed and handled with the utmost privacy and care. When we think about what motivates individuals to get screened, education and awareness, talking about it, getting them connected to resources, thinking about the whole family, having the whole family having the conversation. When we think about our Native populations, we really want to cater to what we find important in the community, whether it's culture or community, making sure that individuals understand that this test is to keep them happy, is to keep them healthy, is to keep them connected to their land so that they can live their best life. When we start talking about things, we can embrace our cultural norms of storytelling. We don't have to be afraid of things that we know more about. And so the idea of us giving you this information is so that you can share with others, so we can overcome challenges and barriers and encourage a conversation with providers, people who have our best interests at heart, to make sure we get the tests that we need. So what are we as Exact Sciences doing to help with this process? A number of things. We have a robust grants program that right now our application is still open. We have one more week before the application closes for community clinics as well as community organizations to apply to receive funds to advance evidence-based interventions. These interventions could be things like navigating patients, supporting promotoras or community health workers, thinking about small media campaigns that really would close education gaps and facilitate patients to get screened. When we think about navigation, I'll show you over the next couple of slides some of the things that we've done to make sure that patients can feel supported and get their questions answered, not only so that they have the test in their home, but so the test gets back and the test gets read and they can get their results. There are a number of things that we've done to improve options for language. I will say that we might not reach all the tribal languages, but we have tried to do our part to increase our language lines and accessibility. And the last but not least is thinking about partnership and engaging with communities just like yours to how we can overcome some of these barriers. In 2022, our second round of focus grants gave out over $500,000, and we hope in 2023 that we can double that. So please, if you have a program that needs some funding and you want to think about sustainability, these grant programs are out to 18 months in terms of your programming. So enough to give you an on-ramp to do your programming and then to get some results back. Again, back to the evidence-based intervention. So we want your interventions to be successful and not taxing to the individuals engaging. We want to use best practices and share best practices so that getting colorectal cancer screening into your community or your population is a value not only to the health system, but a value to patients. As in all things, we have to make sure that we are taking our metrics and ensuring how many people were getting screened so we can close that gap. Again, that 35 to 50% of individuals not being screened, we need to close those numbers. These are the evidence-based interventions I mentioned, but you guys know what works best for you, what works best for your clinics, what works best for your tribes, and where you might need some support to get your providers or patients or your systems connected to do this. Cologuard has been around for about 8 years, and we've screened over 10 million patients, and we've learned a lot in that time, but I will say there's a lot more to learn. And so that 1-844 number that I keep referencing is there for your tribes and your patients to really answer their questions, informing them about the processes, but also how to complete their test. We don't want people to feel marginalized or confused or without support in this process. It can be quite overwhelming, and we understand that. We actually did a test of our supports to see that patients who did not have support versus patients who did have support. And those that did have support, there was a 22% increase of the number of tests that came back once because they had support. And that includes, again, having someone available to call, access in a number of languages, having educational resources, some encouragement, or even communication back to the clinic so you guys can track the kits and know who's turned theirs in and who hasn't. So not only do we screen and support over that first screening, we also screen when it's time to rescreen in 3 years. So this is a journey, right? We want patients to be healthy, happy, and living free of colorectal cancer. And in so doing, we want to make sure that this journey is enjoyable. So we get the information, we engage the patient, we track where the kits are, we remind the patients before the kit comes back to us in the lab. We're on a journey with you. And so we want to make sure that if a positive test is a result, I know I've hit this a lot, but as we communicate with you about what happened with your patient's test, that we can then feed forward to make sure that they are actually completing their screening journey and getting the care that they need. Financial assistance is definitely needed in this equation. So I want to really hone in on what we have available for patients who may not have financial resources or may not have insurance or may have high deductibles that then prohibits them from getting a test. So this is new and there's information about it on our website, but I really want to focus and answer or give you all of the details that I can at this time. So for families of four who have a household income of less than $120,000, and you can see how that relates to federal poverty guidelines, we're able to get those members of a household 45 and older a kit if Cologuard is right for them. So the free kit will go to the patient's home should the patient qualify with SSI or SNAP benefits or other governmental forms of support. Unfortunately, the plan does not apply to co-pays, but it does apply to the kit. If a patient is qualified by an Exact Sciences Cologuard test, but then needs a test for another reason or for another cancer, that patient is qualified for any Exact Sciences product for a whole year. So if you in the clinic need to get someone a Cologuard test and then you need to get someone a liver test and you've already qualified the patient for one, they're then qualified for the other as an example. Again, when you contact the 1-844 number, please be very specific about patients needing support through the patient assistance program so that they can get their Cologuard kit for free as they fall in these federal poverty guidelines. These are the languages, not all of them, but some of the languages for which we support through our language line. We have tailored messaging to go to individuals as well as brochures to simplify the process in the specified language. Unfortunately, we don't have a number of the tribal languages, and that is something that we hope to do better in improving on in the future. As far as videos and wordless instructions or more picture-based navigation, we have improved in that regard. There's how-to videos on how to go through the Cologuard kit to take pieces out step by step. It can be paused, it can be retracked. You can go through it as many times as you need to, not only with your patients, but also with your communities. For returning the instructions, one can schedule the UPS truck to come to a certain place. Boxes have also been collected at clinics. We've also had patients take their boxes directly to UPS or CVS if that CVS is a UPS drop-off. What we will advise, though, is that when patients do their test, that they complete their test on a Sunday, Monday, or ideally Tuesday, so that once their specimen is in the cup and the preservative solution is poured on top, that stool test is good to go for a number of days. It only lasts 3 days. And so we want to make sure that once they complete their test and then it gets on the truck, it gets back to our warehouse in a timely fashion so that we can process it. If a patient, let's say, completes their test on a Friday and then puts it out for UPS on Saturday, then the test won't get back to the lab until UPS picks up on Monday, which makes it expired by Tuesday. And so we really want to set our patients up for success. I mean, I think that's the big message, right? Get patients educated, get them aware, but set them up for success in these processes so that we can get their screening complete. This brochure is now included in the kit. Again, more pictures, less words, but really walks through putting the hat on the toilet, placing the specimen in the cup, swiping the specimen, pouring the solution, sealing it up, and sending it back. There's QR codes if some of your clients or community members are tech savvy. We're trying to do our best to meet people where they are and give them as much support as possible. There's also information for your office to talk about the screening options, so colonoscopy, Cologuard, FIT. It also urges people to get screened, right? We can't wait. Colorectal cancer is on the rise in individuals under 50. As I showed you with the data, that individuals under 50 and over 50 want choice. So all of these messages go hand in hand. It's the idea that we want to offer our patients choice so they can make the best decision and get their tests in. There's also information on the web. So I'll show you in the next slide, but these two slides are some things that we have generated that the first is for providers and speaks to the science of colorectal cancer. And the second is a campaign that speaks to kind of the myths and fears and barriers of why it gets screened and isn't just a man's disease, and taking control, getting the patients to take control of their health by getting as much education as they possibly can. There's ways that we can update or optimize your electronic health records within the clinic. We have a whole team that works to support you all in this. We not only have this technical assistance and support with QR codes, but we also have after visit summaries that have been optimized for plain language and lower literacy, because we know that you can say a ton of things to patients in the office, but when they get home and they have this paper and they're not necessarily sure what to do, or you know, it's kind of like they're paralyzed in getting started. So we're trying to be a partner in easing that burden for you as well. We also try to support in the community. So our team members have been across the states, from Wisconsin to Michigan to Alabama, really investing in communities and supporting the people that support the people, so that the message can get out from the trusted messengers in a way that patients understand and feel supported. Oops. Sorry, I clicked too many times. In summary, I think overall, we want to be partners in this and reducing cancer deaths from a disease that is preventable and that unfortunately is plaguing our tribal communities and our Alaskan Native communities more than it should. We can prevent colorectal cancer, and we want to be on a journey with you to do that. The challenge is that there's a number of individuals, right, that 34 to 50% that are just not up to date with screening and are not screening according to guidelines. And so the message is that we want to increase choice and options for patients so that they can feel empowered and part of the decision making, because the best test is the one that they will show up for, that they're going to tell their friends and family about, and ensure that they get done. For those that are not necessarily aware of Cologuard and all of its options, Cologuard potentially could be a test for your patients. It can be done at home, it can be affordable, or with patient assistance. We want to close those gaps for where patients might need support. We have the resources, we have a team, we have the 1-844 number, so please let us know how we can help. Thank you for the opportunity to present. Here is our email address should you have questions or need further follow-up. Again, we have a team focused on your communities and your health systems, so please do reach out so that we can be of support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ellis. And at this time, I believe that Emily Ferroni had some other comments to add at this point.
All right. Can you hear me okay, Mike?
Yep, we can hear you just fine.
All right. So I am a patient navigator that works with tribal clinics across Michigan. And one specific clinic that I have been working with that we have implemented Cologuard at, we utilize the Exact Sciences portal for our insured patients and our uninsured or PRC patients. So part of my role there to get Cologuard up and running with our patients was establishing how to get the portal for ordering up and running. As you can fax in the orders as well, the portal has just made things so much easier to get Cologuard ordered for our patients. It was a brief meeting and set up with the Exact Sciences team. They enroll your providers and any other staff that are going to be qualified to order the Cologuard kits through that portal. And it's as simple as logging in, creating a patient chart with their demographics, inputting any insurance information necessary, and putting the order through for the provider. You put in their address, their phone number, name, date of birth, where that kit's being sent to. You sign the orders, and it goes as soon as the insurance approves it, it goes right to the patient's home within a matter of less than 2 weeks. Usually it's less than a week turnaround time. For those patients that who are uninsured and who are PRC eligible, we set up another portal. Same login, you just select a different drop-down menu for your uninsured patient, and it's called the client billing. So we set that up with our purchase referred care department, established a meeting with Exact Sciences, a contract was wrote up and modified on both ends of what was needed. And from there, I'm able to order Cologuard for our uninsured PRC eligible patients through the same portal. Only difference is I get approval from PRC beforehand. They give me a reference number just to have on hand for the patient in their chart, and it's ordered the exact same way. So for your insured or your uninsured patients, if they are PRC eligible, they can both be ordered through the portal. If the patient is uninsured and not PRC eligible, the provider can still order through the portal. It'll just be marked as uninsured. And then from there, the patient will go on to either do that financial assistance program that Dr. Ellis mentioned, just by calling and specifically saying, I would like to discuss that, or paying out of pocket with whatever cost it may be to them. But usually what I've come across is they are eligible for that financial assistance program. So that's just a little bit of experience on what I've had with Exact Sciences. It's been going very well at our clinic. So I do encourage other clinics across the US and Michigan to take a look into that, because it's very, very easy for your patients to get care that way.
Thank you very much, Emily. So at this time, if anybody has any questions they would like answered, if you look at your Zoom platform there, you'll see a box that says Q&A. Go ahead and click on that and go ahead and enter your questions into the Q&A box. And we will go ahead and answer those through until probably the top of the hour or so. The first person here asks, Cologuard is a great option because it looks for more and has a longer period between screening dates. However, a lot of the concern is insurance coverage and if a patient is medical self-pay or is sliding fee scale, it becomes unaffordable for those underserved patients and results in patients for not being served. What would you advise for these patients?
So this is where I would think our patient assistance program may come into play as a bridge. Ultimately, the idea is that we want to make sure that patients are getting insurance coverage. But until that happens, the patient assistance program from Exact Sciences, if Cologuard is the test that they need, we can work with them just in getting them connected.
Thank you very much.
Emily's example, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I think Emily's example was perfect in how she was able to leverage the system both for her insured as well as her underinsured patients.
Yeah, so setting up that portal for both of your insured and your uninsured, if you're able to get a contract with your purchase referred care department, I think that's key for those underserved patients for getting care if they are PRC eligible. And then also if they're not, just utilizing that financial assistance program to get the cost lowered as much as possible for patients to be able to order Cologuard for their screening.
All right. This person here asks, may I ask, how is this information gathered for the statistics for AIAN percentage for being double in the nation for colorectal cancer? So I think you're asking where the stats came from.
So the stats, we use the American Cancer Society's facts and figures. We use the paper published by Becky Siegel. And the American Cancer Society in 2023, as compared to 2022, went deeper on the AIAN statistics to show the prevalence in tribal nations or Native versus Alaska Natives. And the Alaska Natives were disproportionately higher than AI specifically.
There's a person here asks, can you share the process that would have to take place in order to contract health or PRC programs to pay for Cologuard for patients who only have coverage through IHS?
I think the best course of action is to email that health equity at Exact Sciences. I think it depends on where you are in the country and how we can best support your PRC.
All right. This next person here says that it's alarming to see that Alaska Native language and American Indians language not listed. It's a huge barrier in itself. Is there a way to fix that?
I agree. That's definitely a barrier. We're trying to do a number of things to work with organizations that serve Alaska Native and tribal nations to see how we can overcome and build media and brochures in more Native languages. To be honest, we need more partnership. Our relationship, not only with NNN, as well as ACAF, those are some of the things we're looking to enhance our offerings in that regard. But Jessica, thank you for the question, because it definitely is something we are intently working on.
This person here asks, there are a few grant-funded colorectal cancer screening programs in Arizona that are willing to pay for underserved patients and their Cologuard kits. However, there's a barrier with how those CRC programs can pay for the Cologuards on behalf of the patients. Is there a contact person for this or a process for this?
Absolutely. So I have a contact or a colleague who services the state of Arizona. He is a screening advocate. That's his job. And we can definitely put you in touch with him to help overcome some of those challenges.
This person here asks, where can we order the screening pads?
The screening tear pads we can get either through our group or your local representative. So that won't be an issue at all.
Emily, this person here asks, how is income verified for the patient?
So there are a few ways. I'm assuming that if she's talking about how it's verified for the patient when they're applying to see how much the kit could be if they're uninsured through Cologuard. I believe that they will ask for, so a form is sent to them, and from there they can attach a number of ways to prove it, such as like a W-9. Or I can't remember the other one, but there is, if you were to call the number and ask how to go about it, they will give you like a list of different proof of income items that you can send in for that. So it is verified through something as like a W-9 form. It has to be something that's recognized like that.
And it's also if they have a SNAP card or some other governmental insurance program, that will suffice, because I know sometimes W-9s are hard to come by.
Thank you. This person here asked, Dr. Ellis, what is the positivity rate of the Cologuard? Sorry if this was covered.
No, I should have been more explicit. So Cologuard is 92% effective in detecting cancer, colorectal cancer. Our advanced adenoma detection rate is 43%, which is higher than the other at-home tests.
And just to remind everybody, if you have any questions, please type them into the Q&A box. We're going to be answering the questions through the top of the hour here. this person here says, our state CRC program works with several clinics serving AI patients. The clinics have implemented evidence-based interventions, patient navigation, and offer all testing options to all patients 45 to 75. But many patients still decline screening. They've tailored messages as well. Do you have any other recommendations that have resulted in improved screening rates?
Yes. So this is kind of where the message has to get out of the clinic. It seems like the clinic is doing all the right things, but get out into the community, and community health workers and other community leaders, tribal leaders, pastors, et cetera, can be really helpful to giving that lay one-to-one, I have, you know, I was afraid of this too, kind of conversation. Those small groups, those outside the clinic, you know, hitting those social determinants where people live and play, really are effective in supporting the patients in making decisions to complete their tests. I would also say it's also within a family, so intergenerational, like children, advocating, mom, dad, let's get this done. Especially younger children for older parents, like, let me help you with the steps. What are some of the challenges? Taking those kind of out of the clinic approaches, and maybe even engaging said individuals in the clinic when at the time of shared decision making, right? So if there's a 30-year-old child of a 70-year-old parent or 50-year-old parent, having that intergenerational conversation can be helpful.
Awesome. Thank you. This next person asks for both your email addresses, if there's any questions they may have later on. So I'm going to go ahead and put that on the screen right now. If you wanted to reach Dr. Ellis, her email address is tellis@exactsciences.com. And Emily's address is emily.ferroni@itcmi.org. I'm sorry. itcmi.org. So I'll leave those on the screen for a few minutes here.
Yep.
This next person here asks, specifically to the Navajo Nation, a lot of patients do not have physical addresses for home delivery. What would be the workaround for those patients?
Yeah, so that's a challenge. We have started to pilot work with particular clinics to see if we can't get distribution of kits at the clinic and patients return the kit back to the clinic. We're not necessarily, we haven't had great success with that everywhere, I will be honest. One, because the kits are big. I mean, they're as big as my head. So just the real estate that they would take up in a clinic. But being that the Navajo Nation is quite connected to their caretakers and their tribal communities, it could be something to think about, a pilot type intervention to improve adherence and getting those kids back. I think someone asked about the expiration date. So we have worked with the buffer to improve the solvency or the ability of the sample to be preserved. And so it can be preserved out to 4 days, but we really encourage patients to return it within 3, just in case something happens, so that that 4th day is an extra cushion.
Awesome. This person here asks, are there any screenings available without a prescription? Say that we could provide at a health and wellness event, or do they all have to be from their provider?
So yes, Cologuard is by prescription. And the reason it is by prescription is that we want to make sure that individuals are connected to a medical home should a positive result occur. And should they have questions or other things. There is an option for telehealth should someone not have a provider, that we can be supportive through that website. But our goal is to get everyone connected such that we close some of these gaps because they are disconnected.
Something that the clinic I work at that has done, if you're speaking of not wanting to go in to see your provider and just having that ability to have it ordered without an appointment, depending on the last time you saw your provider, you can often put a note, have a note put into your chart for them, asking if you're eligible or if they would require you to come in or if you need a colonoscopy. So if you're trying to get a kit without coming in for a visit, it could just be dependent on your health facility's processes, but the one I've personally worked with, I'm able to put a note in to the provider asking if the patient is eligible or if they would like to be seen to discuss or if they're only able to get a colonoscopy. So that would be kind of one way of working around having to get an appointment to come in.
This person here asks, is there any financial assistance for uninsured people who have required a colonoscopy if they test positive on a Cologuard test? I understand they get financial assistance for the Cologuard test, but what about the colonoscopy?
Yes, that's where our partnership comes in. So one way that individuals are getting colonoscopies covered is through the FOCUS grant. So they're applying for support for their clinic to get follow-up colonoscopies covered. Others are working with advocacy organizations like the Colorectal Cancer Coalition that has funding in certain communities for follow-up colonoscopy, and or working with local GI groups that might have pro bono work or state organizations that or state PCAs that actually support some of this follow-up colonoscopy work. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not available in all communities in all states, and far from perfect for what the need is. But we are definitely trying to be a good partner in achieving some of those gaps.
And this person here says, how do you navigate uninsured patients that have positive tests?
So similarly, talking with their provider, once that test goes out, we have a team focused on follow-up colonoscopy and piloting different mechanisms to improve patient outcomes and getting them navigated. So using our networks to help support your networks and making sure that that continuum care is closed or gap is closed. The other piece is the policy, right? How do we work with other advocacy organizations like a Fight Colorectal Cancer that really looks at each state to close some of those gaps with follow-up colonoscopy? So it really does take all of us in kind of an ecosystem approach. See the question. Yeah. So for this question around patient returning Cologuard takes too long and it's no longer viable. So no, the patient will not have to pay for the second Cologuard test, right? So the patient technically doesn't pay for their Cologuard test until it's resulted. So if your patients have Cologuard boxes sitting in their homes, they technically haven't paid for those until they come back to the warehouse. So if it comes back and it needs to be resubmitted, we will send that patient a new test.
All right. So again, we'll be looking to answer questions till the top of the hour. So if anybody has any other questions, feel free to type them into the Q&A box. Be sure to follow the National Native Network on social media and on our website at keepitsacred.org for folks looking to get an archive of today's webinar presentation. It'll be available within the next 24 hours at keepitsacred.org. Click on the resources tab and the webinar archive tab, and you'll be able to see today's presentation. This person here says, what is the process for assisting people who have had an abnormal test and need to get a colonoscopy?
So yes, we have a team. I would call that 1-844 number, and we will do our best to connect said individuals. There is a small team that does focus on follow-up colonoscopy, but I don't know that we can do one-to-one with the clinic as much as we could just try to support in your local area, but also get you connected to the advocacy organizations that really have a presence in each state.
This person here asks, how do you or are you building these pilots for screening navigation, and any recommendations for doing so?
Let's talk offline. I think that we have our own screening navigation program, but others, there's a lot of screening navigation programs out there, and maybe there's some best practices that can be shared in that regard. So, I don't know that I can give all the nuts and bolts right now, Not necessarily understanding what they've built or where their challenges are, to be honest.
So I'll recommend for this person to shoot an email over to tellis@exactsciences.com.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead and connect up with Dr. Ellis from there. And this person here says, I work with the Hopi communities, and we also don't have physical addresses. So how do we get it to communities and get them back before they expire? Because transportation is a major barrier.
Yeah.
So what we've done in other communities is it's again another pilot, but we've piloted, can people return their kits back to the clinic? Or can people complete them at the clinic or maybe a community center kind of thing? So when people can, if it's in their neighborhood and they walk to a central location, potentially leave their kits and UPS does it at that place rather than relying on people to take a bus or for people to leverage a friend's car to then return their kit, right? That's really challenging and a barrier that probably they won't return their kit. So what other infrastructure is available that we can be supportive, or maybe we need to think about something new? I'll be honest, again, we don't have all the answers, but we're definitely want to figure out what will work better for our tribal populations.
This next person here says, what is the out-of-pocket cost for a Color Guard for uninsured and over 400% FPL?
So it varies, to be honest. One can Google the cost, but it is over $500 for cash pay.
All right. And this person here says, what are the best days for patients to schedule pickup and shipping in order for their Cologuard to be processed in a timely manner?
So it's my belief that if patients, you know, patients potentially are home over the weekend, have more mind space to complete their Cologuard kit. Let's say they complete it on a Sunday and they have their pickup scheduled on a Monday. It could be done on a weekday if people feel like they can do that. Again, earlier in the week is better. We know that UPS as our carrier for the contiguous 48 states does not work on weekends. I know we have a pilot up in Alaska where, you know, their dates are a little different because we have to fly in FedEx because of how far they are. So Hawaii might be similar as well. So I don't want to give a clear, like, it must be Tuesday, but I would say for those that were using UPS and leveraging, the idea is to have the patient get in the right headspace to complete the test and then get it out the door and mailed the next day. I can't tell you the number of packages that I might have well intended to return something or get to the post office that it's 3 days later. And so we really want to set the patients up for success of, okay, when you're ready to do it, schedule it that same day so that they can come pick it up the next day.
All right. Well, looking at the clock and looking that the Q&A box is empty now, well, I think this is probably a good spot to stop. If anybody has any additional questions, feel free to email Dr. Ellis or Emily at the email addresses on the screen, tellis@exactsciences.com and emily.ferroni@itcmi.org. Again, today's webinar will be archived on our website at keepitsacred.org as well. And if you wouldn't mind, please complete the post-webinar evaluation that will be emailed out within the next 24 hours as well. Your feedback is super helpful in telling us how we did and whether or not this webinar presentation today was useful. And with that, we will say the Gwitch. Thank you very much to everybody who attended and have yourselves a wonderful day.
Thank you for your time. And
to view the full webinar video and additional resources, please visit our website, keepitsacred.org, and click the Resources tab and the Webinar Archive tab. Thank you for listening to this Webinar Archive presentation from the National Native Network. Looking away.